KMAN, Brandon Peoples here. We've got a busy show today, and we're going to start things off here at the top of the hour with Greg McClure. He is the K-State Research and Extension Agricultural Agent, and he joins us on the program.
Good morning.
Hi, glad to have you here.
Thank you.
A lot of stuff to get to here. I wanted to start first, though. You got a lot of notes here about the 2018 review, and 2018 was quite a year here in Kansas.
Well, in the farming world, it was an interesting year. Mm-hmm. You know, so happy news for us here in Riley County, harvest is pretty much done. You look at some other parts of the state, and they're still harvesting. And harvesting at Christmas isn't the normal thing.
Yeah, and, so, and a lot of that, I mean, it would imagine would be attributed to drought.
Yep, you look back at the weather, and, well, drought, you know, we spend all the time in drought, and then when it's time to harvest, we get rain. You know, yeah. So we had, we started out the year, I think, from about November of last year through April of this year, drought, really dry, you know, wheat in the ground that looked terrible. And then we got a little bit of rain. Wheat turned out to be pretty decent, enough rain that planting just went great. And so April and May, pretty much everything got planted, and we're in good shape as far as crops coming up. Then we're in drought again. And it kind of depends on where you were. If you were in northern Riley County, you caught a few rains. If you were south of Manhattan, boy, you were really in trouble. And so as the year progressed, when corn needed rain south of Manhattan, it didn't get it. And so south of Manhattan, into Geary County, Wabunch County, if you had any corn there, it may have ended up in a silo. So chopped instead of harvested for grain. So corn didn't turn out to be a very good crop south of Manhattan, north of town, clear north, actually pretty good. So interesting the difference with just within this county.
Yeah.
Some of our other crops, you know, it remained dry. You know, you could catch a rain, they remained dry. We had enough rain to keep the soybeans alive, and so we caught a mid-August rain and actually had a pretty good soybean crop. Probably a lot of 45 to 55 bushel per acre soybeans here in Riley County, and that's a decent yield. So, you know, there is a positive there. Grain sorghum is the other crop we grow here, and I think most probably thought they were about 20 bushel short of what it looked like it was going to do. And so, you know, while that crop survived, it wasn't great. And so that now, you know, we get to the fall, and around the 1st of September, you know, we think we've got a decent crop out there. We're ready to harvest it. And what happened around the 1st of September? Mm-hmm. At my house, it rained 11 inches.
Yeah.
Here in Manhattan, I think maybe it was closer to 4.5 or 5 inches. If you went to Blue Rapids, would they get 15 inches? And so here it is, harvest time, and we've got a monsoon. And so it's just been an interesting fall. I think if you recall, and my memory isn't that great, but you get about a month down the road, it's about to dry out, about ready to harvest. I think we got a little rain and snow again.
Mm-hmm.
And so harvest has really stretched out. It's been a tough fall. I know some folks in a neighboring county, one of my friends finished harvest, probably about a week ago. My wife has some land in Saline County, and there's milo still being harvested, so it's not done. So it's just a mess, and some of that's laid down and going slow. And so, but in Riley County, I think we're pretty well done. At least maybe our farmers can have a good Christmas.
Have you ever seen harvest go this late here?
Well, yes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that's a matter of age. So maybe not here, but I do remember 1973. I'm old enough to remember that. I think I was, I'm not sure how old I was at that time, but probably was in middle school. And that was a year that we got a snowstorm, I believe, in the fall, and we ended up harvesting some milo in April. And so you can have years like this. We haven't had them quite this bad this late lately.
Yeah. What is the first day of winter? So, you know, they are predicting quite a bit of snow this year.
What I hear. Now, you know, and I don't know who predicts those things. Is that the amateur prognosticators or is that the professionals?
Well, I know some of the professionals do that, you know, do a little winter outlook. But.
And so, yeah, that's what I hear from the farmers. They're thinking this is going to be a snowy winter. So we'll see if they're right or if they're wrong.
And that would be good, wouldn't it, if you had a lot of snow?
Well, it depends on what business you're in.
Okay.
If you're in the crop business and your crops are out there and you don't have anything else to do, snow's a good thing. Good snow cover will keep those crops in good shape. It'll provide some moisture. If you're in the livestock business and it's wet snow and muddy lots, well, then it's a different ballgame. Then it's kind of hard to handle and hard on the livestock and hard on everybody else. So not everybody's going to be happy, and that's kind of the farming world. You're either happy or you're unhappy, or you're happy when somebody else is suffering. That's just kind of the way the business works.
Yeah. Let's take a look at some upcoming meetings you guys have here in the new year.
So I've got a whole list of things. This is the time of year that we normally schedule our farmer meetings because generally January, February, maybe the first part of March, things are a little slower for them. And so we can schedule some things and they can get out and come to some meetings, learn some things instead of being working all day long. So we start out in January with our coffee shop agronomy meetings. Actually, they're not all agronomy meetings this year, so I'm just going to call it the coffee shop series. But January 10th, we've got a meeting on soybean tech traits with Bill Shapaw. We'll be talking about the different technology traits, Roundup Ready, dicamba, the extend beans, and those kind of things, and how that affects yield. And so that's our January 10 meeting. And these coffee shop agronomy meetings, we hold those all at Nelson's Landing. We've got four of them scheduled. They're Thursday mornings, 10:30 to noon, and single topic, pretty informal. And so kind of a series that it's kind of a question and answer type thing. So it works out pretty well. But the first one's January 10 on the soybean tech traits. Next one is January 24th. We'll talk about beef cattle health management with A.J. Tarpoff. AJ is, I say the new, he's probably been here almost 2 years now, but a beef veterinarian here at K-State, does a great job. And so those are the two meetings in January. We'll have another one in February 7, grazing cover crops, another one February 21st. The February 21st one, I think, is something that a little different audience might want to put on their schedule, a little different topic. So talking about 1031 exchange requirements. You know, that's the deal that lets you buy a piece of property and exchange it for another piece of property without experiencing the capital gains tax problems. And so 1031 exchange requirements, and then we'll also talk about the merits of different types of entities. So again, corporations, sole proprietorship, LLCs, those kind of things. So that's February 21st. That's a date that I think a lot of people will want to mark down and remember to be there.
Okay, no charge to these meetings?
No charge on any of these meetings. We've got sponsors that take care of that for us. So we've got refreshments provided by, I've got a list of sponsors that will take care of that. And so we just do ask that we get notification the day before. So call my office, register online. That's www.riley.ksu.edu, just to let us know that you're coming.
Okay, and then I see January 28th is your annual meeting.
So we have our Riley County Livestock Association annual meeting, January 28th. That's always a big event and a good one to come to. Yeah, you might want to put that one on your calendar as well because of the steak dinner with it. So January 28th, 6:30 p.m., Potter Hall, steak dinner, $20 membership to the Riley County Livestock Association, $15 for an additional dinner if you bring a guest. It's 10-ounce ribeye, usually pretty good steak. Our board members serve that. They put it together. They've kind of mastered it, and so they do a good job with it. This year's speaker will be Anthony Meals. Anthony is the VOAG teacher and FFA advisor at Blue Valley High School. He'll be talking about his recent construction project there, the new Blue Valley Ag Center, or whatever we want to call that, and kind of the vision, what kind of influence they're trying to have in the community with that, and opportunities that provides. And so Anthony's a really good speaker. He'll do a really nice job. Again, that's January 28, 6:30 p.m. Need reservations, I don't know, something like a week in advance.
Okay. And then January 30th is the Farmland Lease Workshop.
And so and this is one that, you know, we do an awful lot of work with leases. You know, I get these questions regularly. And so we have a meeting scheduled midday, so 1:30 to 3:30. Michael Taylor at K-State will do the presentation. She does a real nice job with these meetings, talking about different types of leases and how to develop equitable leases, and a little bit about the lease law. The lease law is something that we should cover. We try to cover that prior to lease termination dates. So in Kansas, if you have an oral lease, the law says that the lease runs from March 1st to March 1st. And so anybody who wants to change tenants needs to make a decision at least 30 days prior to March 1st. So to terminate an oral crop lease or a pasture lease in Kansas needs to be done at least 30 days prior to March 1, has to be in writing, and has to state the termination date as March 1. And so we have to be pretty careful that the people understand that. I get a lot of calls around the 1st of February, and you know, I say, you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyway, this meeting is the 30th of January. We'll get a lot more publicity out later. Just kind of wanted to throw that one out there so you could see it now.
Okay. New farm bill passed recently here, and I think it was signed into law yesterday or the day before by President Trump.
Okay, well, it could be. You know, I saw information about it last week, and so it just kind of been a touch base. It's really not a lot different from what we had prior, the previous one. The one that we did in 2014 took quite a bit of effort for farmers to decide where they wanted to be in the ARC, Agriculture Risk Coverage, PLC, Price Loss Coverage, and then they had to sign up for a five-year period. The big change that I see in this one is that we're going to get, after you sign up for the first 2 years, you get to choose again which one of those programs they want to be in, and then after that it'll be an annual decision, which will be a real benefit to the farmers. So when they signed up this last time, you know, all you could see, you had no idea what was happening 5 years out, and all you could see was, well, here's the money up front. And most of us took that first two-year money and probably made the wrong decision because prices dived and the other program would have helped a whole lot. And so this will be a nice change for farmers.
All right. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things here in Kansas. A lot of people seem to support the farm bill this year. So,
well, at least on the farmer side, I think it's a good deal. And I think, you know, the farm bill, a big portion of that farm bill is the SNAP Ed program. Mm-hmm. And I think they said that's what held it up a little bit. And I believe that remained somewhat unchanged. I don't know a whole lot about that side of it, but it is a way bigger portion of it is the SNAP Ed program than what actual is farm program payments.
Gotcha. Well, Greg, what about lower critical temperature here and how that affects beef cattle?
One of the things that we talk about this time of year, I guess today isn't the best day to be talking about this because it's going to be a nice day, but actually temperatures at which cattle are comfortable. And so the point being that, in the summertime, they've got if they're wet, 59 degrees, they're starting to feel cold. In the wintertime or in the fall, if they've got a dry coat, they're probably good at 45, and then they get a heavier coat. You know, just like you and me, we put on a heavier coat, well, they grow more hair. And so with a normal winter coat, cattle are comfortable at 32 degrees. And with a heavy winter coat, they're comfortable at 18 degrees. And so the point is, a couple of points. If you see them standing out there, they may not be as uncomfortable as you would be. They may be doing just fine. But the other side of that, on the farmer side of things, is, you know, if it's if they don't have that heavy winter coat and it's 18 degrees, well, you know, they're, 12, 20 degrees, 13, 14 degrees colder than they're comfortable. I guess do that math in my head. I'm not doing it very well here on the spot. But they really need about 1% more energy for each degree below that lower critical temperature. So the take-home message for the farmers is, you know, if it's extremely cold, they need more feed. And in cold weather, if you think about this, this will make sense. They can eat more in cold weather. And the reason I say that makes sense is because what do you and I do? Mm-hmm. In the winter when it's cold, we eat more. Now, we don't need it because we go inside and, you know, we put on fat that we'd like to have our cows put on. But it does work. They can consume quite a bit more feed. If they can't, and of course it has to be provided to them. You know, if it's not there, they can't consume it. If necessary, we may have to change the feed, give them a little more grain, a little more energy in order to keep them going.
All right. So, things to keep in mind here because the temperature will drop at some point.
The temperature will drop, and usually that's about the first weekend in January, and it'll be bitter cold.
All right. About out of time here, Greg. Anything else real quick that that you want to highlight?
You know, I think that hits what I had. If you've got anything else, we'll talk about anything.
I have something to talk about.
All okay. Right. This could be fun.
No, actually, it's probably not. But we had a news story come out from the Kansas Forest Service about the potential for wildfires being pretty high coming up here after the first of the year. I mean, that could start at any time because it's dry.
It is dry, sort of. You know, it just depends on where you're at. You know, in some places, the soil is still wet. And so I think it really depends where you're at. I don't know how serious we are here. You know, we've always got that potential with as many cedar trees as what we have growing in pastures in Riley County. We've always got the potential for a wildfire.
They need to change the names of those cedar trees to sedum burn trees.
Well, we would like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of really good entertainment for some of us that hate cedar trees. Light those babies up and watch them
Used
go.
To be a six-pack of beer and a bug zapper.
Okay, well, I never did that, but I know people that did.
All right. But that's going to be something we're going to be watching.
Yeah, we need to pay attention to that because it's amazing how quickly we go. You know, we've just been through a monsoon season, and the next thing you know, we're going to be in a drought. The other thing that on the horticulture side of things, folks in town, we will remind you that during the winter time, when you get a nice period of weather, you might be wanting to water your trees. And, you know, whether you're in town or whether you're out in the country, we need to remember that, too. I actually lost a couple of trees last year because I didn't follow the horticulture agent's advice.
Oops. Does he know that?
I didn't tell him.
Okay, we're going to record this segment and send it to 3G, which is Greg Izstone. Okay? Yeah. Just to make sure, you know, it's just like he needs to know.
You suppose I could get him to come replant for me?
Not if you're not going to take care of your stuff. No,
yeah,
your track record there is not very strong.
Yeah.
Very good. That's all. That's all I got for you. Merry Christmas.
Really good to see you.
Always.
Thanks so much for being here, Greg. We'll talk to you again next time.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll continue on here. We got Raleigh County Senior Service Center, Margaret Abbott in studio next on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and commercial customers, and they